Hello, I'm John, and this is In Orbit. Welcome one and all to the podcast. We appreciate you being with us for what is going to be a bit of a doozy, because today we're talking about cyber. That's right, malware, data breaches, and phishing, oh my. We hear or read about cyber and cyber attacks seemingly on a daily basis, and the score is getting higher all the time as cybercrime and cyber attacks become more sophisticated. The average cost of a data breach in 2022 reached a record high of $4.35 million, according to a joint study by IBM and the Poneman Institute. Now they're thinking the average cost could reach $5 million in 2023. And speaking of 2023, it's been a busy year for cyber attacks. I'm just going to share a few examples of the many reported so far from the Center for Strategic and International Studies. First up, in January 2023, hackers deployed a ransomware attack against the UK Postal Service that disrupted systems used to track international mail, and it took 20 days to get service fully restored. Also in January, hackers targeted government, military, and civilian networks across the APAC region, that's Asia Pacific, leveraging malware to obtain confidential information. Now, the crazy part was that not only did the malware target victims' machines, but it captured audio from the microphones on those machines. That's crazy. Now, I'll continue. In February 2023, Italian officials claimed that hackers conducted a ransomware attack against Acea, an energy utility in Rome. In May 2023, T-Mobile, and I'm not trying to pick on any particular mobile service provider, T-Mobile suffered its second data breach of 2023 after a hack revealed the PINs, the personal identification numbers, full names, and phone numbers of more than 800 customers. And this was T-Mobile's ninth data breach since 2018. And just a few days ago, we're in mid-June now, the American states, whole states of Oregon, Louisiana, a bunch of universities, and several U.S. agencies were targeted in a massive data breach that exposed the information of millions. Now, my intent is not to terrify you, but I am trying to give you a smattering of the kinds of cyber attacks, from civilian-focused to government-targeted by both independent and state-sponsored groups, that are happening all around the world. With us here today to talk about all this, but more importantly, about the kinds of cyber solutions KBR is delivering to help customers meet these kinds of challenges, is Derek Nixon. Derek is Vice President of Cybersecurity Solutions in the Defense Systems Engineering Business Unit, which is part of KBR's Government Solutions United States business. Welcome to the podcast, Derek.
Hey, thank you for having me on, John. I mean, this is a exciting topic to talk about.
We are so glad to have you. And this is I get kind of geeked out about this because as people can tell from the open, it's something I'm very, very interested in, because as these threats and vulnerabilities sort of grow and evolve, it's something that affects us all. But before we get into that stuff, I wonder if you could just tell us and our listeners a little about yourself and your career journey.
Yeah, I'd be glad to. So I'm originally from Central North Carolina, a little town called Random in North Carolina. It's probably most famous for Richard Petty, the NASCAR all-time winner. So I actually went to school with Kyle. So after school and going through that, joined the Marine Corps, spent my time in the intelligence community. And later, towards the end of my career, I had the opportunity to go to Marine Corps Systems Command, which is up in Quantico, and serve as a project officer for the Marine Corps Intel Surveillance and Reconnaissance Systems, and was able to really get involved in the acquisition, anything from a requirements development to developing the system, working up the training packages and delivering it to the Marines. After that, all the Marines, that they told me to retire. Stepped out to the defense industry, started out with a small business, eventually moved over to Honeywell. And that's how I was introduced to KBR. Honeywell Technology was acquired by KBR and joined the company. Now just celebrated 10 years with the company. It's been a great trip.
Well, first of all, thank you for your service, sir.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. And secondly, happy to celebrate that 10-year anniversary with you.
Yeah, it's just a great opportunity. I mean, when you come to a company that you just enjoy Coming to work each and every day. And more importantly, and we'll get into this, how it has transformed itself and how it's grown and introduced new capabilities. I mean, this is not your, you know, your dad's, your grandfather's KBR. This is a new, very innovative company that is continuing to transform and grow. And it's getting recognized not only by our customer, but the competition.
That's outstanding. And I guess that's a perfect segue into this next question. And I'll get you to set the stage a little bit. So just for our listeners' sake, in communicating with Derek before the interview, Derek, you mentioned that there's been a period of transition for KBR from being a company, your granddad's KBR, if you will, that offered customers, specifically government customers, services, quote unquote, to being a provider of solutions. Would you explain to our listeners what the difference is between those two concepts?
Absolutely. The fact that we're actually having this conversation is amazing because 7 to 8 years ago, cyber really did not exist in KBR. Through a number of acquisitions, you know, going back to Wiley, Honeywell, SGT, and most recently Centauri, even the Frazier Nash has brought these capabilities to KBR. It was originally, you know, services. We hired very smart people that were highly certified and got paid to be thinkers for the government. They were very specialized in certain aspects, either from, you know, things like ethical hacking, compliance to certain policies and laws, to operational system engineers that really looked at the systems. You know, each one of these acquisitions continued to grow, and we went from, you know, again, we're in the market to hire thinkers and these very, very, very smart individuals that are, again, are very highly certified, to now looking at the government's problems and our customers' problems and trying to offer them holistic solutions to answer maybe a capability shortfall, a technology gap, something that really changes and helps their ability to defend and respond to cyber attacks. You know, one of the big areas for us, and it came, you know, with some of that Honeywell heritage, is industrial control systems. You know, our ability to look at those and look at potential attack surfaces in it, being able to securely build those systems and harden those systems to defend itself from a cyber attack is something that we do really well. It's now been recognized by the government. And again, our competition is starting to, you know, figure it out as well. So it's, you know, our goal, our strategic goal within KBR Cyber is to have a balance between services and solutions so we can address any of our customers' requirements.
It's amazing to hear about that evolution from someone who's seen it firsthand. And with that in mind, I wonder if you'll talk a bit about how KBR, more specifically about how KBR has begun to differentiate itself in that respect, particularly around cyber.
Yeah, it's an amazing story. I mean, it's, again, we're starting to be recognized by very specialized cyber organizations, government organizations, even on the commercial side, for our cyber skills. And I'll give you an example here. KBR hosts DISA, which DISA is the organization within the U.S. Department of Defense that manages all the networks, all the devices that they kind of set the standard. They kind of push out the requirements that certain devices have to meet to be able to connect to DoD networks. Well, we house what's called DISAworks, their innovation cell for cybersecurity and network advancement within our Columbia, Maryland facility. You know, that's something that they could have went to any DoD defense industry partner out there, but they came to KBR because we were able to show them that we can quickly define the requirements. We can quickly look for either existing capabilities, and sometimes it's with a niche small business, or we could develop that. And more importantly, we've taken the role on as a system integrator to bring maybe bits and parts of solutions together to provide a holistic solution for their bigger problem. One of the things that I'm very proud of, and again, you know, 7-8 years ago, just wasn't really on the radar for KBR as we were, you know, just kind of starting out on cyber. But we recently have trademarked and taken two solutions to market once Crystal Vista that really focuses on that secure transmission of data at a very high rate. Another one is a Quantum Pantheon. And that system is a tactical edge device that puts a heck of a lot of computing capability out at the forward edge. So, you know, if there is an adversary was to take out a cloud infrastructure backbone, these systems are still able to take and ingest big data and use artificial intelligence to provide very actionable information back to decision makers. So, again, it's part of our transition point going from a 100% services to that balance of services and solutions within the company.
And there's an extraordinary level of trust on behalf of our customers like the US DoD to have us providing these kinds of solutions, it sounds like.
Absolutely. You only get one chance at it. And what they have seen, I mean, look at our ability to deliver, you know, base camps in support of world crisis. They came to KBR because we deliver. And whether it's, you know, loading ships, it's taking man back to the moon, we deliver in cybersecurity. So this, you know, for us, it's a position of pride to be able to, you know, help the U.S. government and our allies overcome cyber challenges.
That's outstanding. Well, as I was speaking in the cold open, telling our listeners about some of these threats that we experience, that the world experiences, we seem to be hearing with greater frequency about cyber attacks, ransomware, hacking, both independent and some state sanctioned from near peers, on utilities, hospitals, vital infrastructure, and the list goes on and on. How are we seeing the landscape of vulnerabilities evolving?
I mean, it's definitely the cyber attacks like ransomware, denial of service, they're still out there. I mean, it's almost weekly, if not monthly, that we read about, you know, schools, business, banking being held under ransomware, and it interrupts our day-to-day lives. It interrupts the flow of business and affects the ability to, you know, disseminate data and receive data. But what we've also seen recently is, and you know, if you look at the Ukraine-Russian conflict, Russia is targeting critical infrastructure. You know, they're going after the power grid. They're going after the hospitals, as you mentioned. They're going after things that support life. And what they're doing, they're developing new types of attacks and new methods of engaging that. Some of are kinetic, some are non-kinetic. And for us, we have to adjust our ability to defend and respond to those new emerging attacks. But, you know, attacks are on the rise. It's, you know, anything from adversary countries to rogue states to just outright, you know, internet terrorists. And your 12-year-old who's sitting in his mom and dad's house with a computer who goes, watch this. We have to, you know, look and respond to all those type of threats.
And no one is immune. It boggles the mind. It really does.
You know, with cyber, it not only, you know, affects us, you know, as a nation or as a, you know, a coalition, as a global entity, but cyber attacks can affect you on a very personal level. Mm. So I think that's why, you know, it continues to be at the forefront of news. It's something, you know, on one side, chaos affects us on our day-to-day, you know, through cyber attacks, but it also brings new opportunities for us. And what we are seeing, and it's a challenge throughout, you know, any contractor, the government has the same challenge, is qualified, certified workforce. So automation and artificial intelligence is playing a bigger role in our ability to defend and respond to cyber attacks. And KBR is sitting right there in the forefront of it. I mean, we're in the top 10 AI providers for the government. We're leveraging that knowledge. We're leveraging, you know, partnerships to really try to get in front of this workforce shortfall right now to be able to, again, defend these these, you know, sometimes multiple attacks on the same target. So it's something that I think that, again, chaos creates opportunity, and we're trying to make the best of it.
Yeah, you just mentioned the proliferation of AI. That's exciting and a source of pride to know that KBR is at the forefront of that. And with that in mind, I wonder if you'd tell us about some of the integrated cyber capabilities KBR has at its disposal and how they can help our customers.
Well, I'll tell you, the number one asset that we have is our employees. They are phenomenal. We have some just incredible employees that understand systems, human behavior, the intelligence community, you know, and these entities that want to attack both IT systems and operational technologies. Now, one of the things that we've done is made an investment, we being KBR, an investment in this thing called a cyber range. Now, when I throw out cyber range, most of the folks that have been in DOD, they want to see a kinetic range, a bullseye, you know, something that, you know, they can aim in on and hit with a projectile or a kinetic weapon. That, but really a cyber range is an environment that mimics networks and devices and operational technology. Now, ours is a little bit different than some of the other cyber ranges out there because we actually incorporate both virtualization, you know, VMware type stuff, along with actually physically connecting to some devices. If you come into our demo room, one of the things that we've done is connected everyday household items, you know, a refrigerator, a microwave, a pressure cooker, a coffee maker, to show you and demonstrate to not only you know, our team, but the customers that come in to see the demonstrations, how easy it is to manipulate and gain control of those type of devices. What it really allows our government partners to do is leverage that environment to test, train, and look for vulnerabilities. It allows them to look at their cyber problems in a very low-risk environment because it's not actually happening on their production systems. So they're not, you know, testing and training on the network that runs their organization. However, for the users that we bring in and work with, it looks and smells just like it. The other thing that we could do is bring in devices, and we've done it for some of the Navy, Navair type customers. We've done it for Department of Transportation, is look at devices. We know why we bought it. We know what's integrated in, let's say, a vehicle. But what else can we do with it? Can we change the firmware to do something that it shouldn't do? Can we manipulate something to make it look like it's operating correctly, but in essence, it's collecting data and being able to transmit it somewhere else? So it's our goal is to have the our cyber range, our KBR cyber range, act like an adversary would. You know, checklist, a very fluid and evolving environment, so we can train our individuals that when they see these attacks, it's second nature to them. It's just like a fire team in the Marine Corps. You adjust and overcome. So that's our goal. That's one of the tools that we have. It's been used both internally. We do a lot of the One KBR support, helping other programs of record. And it's used by our customers to test different systems and theories out. So it's been a great revenue driver for us for a very low investment.
That's just extraordinary, especially to think about the physical connection to devices via the Internet of Things and thinking about needing to know how all of these things work just in case there was an incident.
It's incredible. It's muscle memory. You know, it's really taken in, with this system, we can quickly identify a problem. We can either quarantine that problem, keep some production going, or we've already got a potential fix that we've developed to apply and move on to the next threat that pops its ugly head up.
Gosh, that's just fascinating. So you've already mentioned our amazing people. And if people are regular listeners to the podcast, they know that we talk a big game about our people because we should. They're amazing. And so these solutions, of course, they're not being created in a vacuum. So would you tell us a little about how our people and the kinds of skills that they need are bringing these solutions to bear and how their skill sets are evolving?
Absolutely. So our cyber workforce is very heavily certified. Within that domain, certifications, whether it's in certain operating systems, certain devices, certain applications that are used to discover vulnerabilities, it's a certification is one of the bigger requirements. We see it from the government when they ask for service, they ask for individuals that have certain certifications to support their requirements. But even on the solution side, you've got to have individuals that have that. Now, we are extremely lucky because KBR has a great tuition assistance. And more importantly, they do professional certifications. One of the few companies, believe me, we absolutely use that as a recruiting piece, but they will pay for certifications for these individuals. What that allows us to do is to bid those individuals against higher labor categories. It opens doors for their promotion, allows us to bid on new work. So that's been a great benefit for the employees. It's a great return on investment for the company, allowing us to continue to grow. The other thing that that we have is, you know, our employees jump on this cyber range. Again, they've got to experience, we call it scar tissue. They've got to get the scar tissue to learn to fail fast, to be able to look at these cyber problems and understand them so they can do a better job of reacting to them. And then the last thing I'll talk about is that we've got some great partners out there that, you know, we bring in, you know, industry, you know, standards. You know, we've got relationships with the Amazons, the Googles, the Microsofts. You know, Splunk is just about everywhere within cyber. We do a lot of things with Zscaler and some of these other, you know, major vendors. Well, they offer training for our employees and stuff. So our employees get a chance to actually get on there, you know, from the developer side, really understand the tool and be able to maximize it and use it to its full effect for our customers and in our solutions. So, you know, it's not just one little thing that we do. It is a tool bag of things that we offer for these employees to continue to evolve in that. And then, you know, the big thing that I've got to give credit to is our staffing. Our staffing is always looking for the best and brightest cyber individuals out there. We've just brought on, you know, two or three game changers in the cyber community, where I will tell you, reputation has got a big, you know, it's a big player. If you got the right people doing the right behaviors, it gets out. People know who they are. And our new customers will come to us just because we have those individuals and stuff. So it's a mixed bag to get you growth and success within this community.
Well, one, it's encouraging to hear about those top-notch recruitment efforts going so well. And number two, encouraging to know that these people are staying at the forefront, the KBR people are staying at the forefront of the requirements needed to meet these challenges. Derek, before I let you go, is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Yeah, I got to share this story. It's an amazing story. It really talks about the diversity of our workforce. We actually have a true MD, yes, a medical doctor, who is a certified ethical hacker.
Oh, wow.
So that just shows you the diversity of our cyber workforce. I mean, this individual, so he's looking at, you know, ethical hacking, looking at behaviors and that. He's understanding the human behavior, you know, the curiosity. Well, I'm going to pick up this USB that's, you know, sitting in the parking lot. Well, then the desire to help people. Well, I'm going to plug it into my computer at work, my KBR computer, to find out who it is so I can return it to them. Well, you know, unethical hacker, I should say, in this case, plays off of those human behaviors.
Right.
And the more we understand that, the more we can counter that. It's what our IT and, security folks have a great training plan, internal. To, you know, help prevent insider threat. You know, most security breaches are done by employees. It's not this magical, as you see on TV, type of takedowns. It's somebody has given somebody unauthorized access to our domains and stuff. So our security or IT department does a great job reinforcing breaking bad behaviors and really looking at that, that human aspect. So it's a team effort. You know, we use those type of tricks and things to help exploit our systems, for the government. So we can show them the vulnerabilities of it, but we also go back in house. And again, KBR does a great job of trying to prevent our systems, our backbone, our business systems from being exploited.
That's outstanding. Well, sir, I appreciate your time and thank you so much for coming and speaking with us about this fascinating, sometimes a little bit terrifying, but very, very infinitely interesting subject.
Yeah, if you lose sleep tonight, I did my job today.
Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you. Have a good day.
And there you have it. The prospect of cyber threats is daunting, and there's something we all need to take seriously. But thankfully, KBR has got a world-class team of experts standing in the gap. We want to thank Derek Nixon for sharing his time, expertise, and passion in this awesome discussion about KBR's cyber capabilities. If you'd like to learn more about those capabilities, check us out over at kbr.com. Of course, a big thank you to Emma, our producer, for her wonderful work on the podcast. Finally, if you like what you heard today, or if you have an idea for a future episode, please feel free to reach out to us by emailing inorbit@kbr.com. And that's all from me. Thank you so much, dear listeners, for tuning in and keeping us in your orbit. Take care.